Yeah, boys. Do you know what time it is? Welcome to Tiger Claw Radio. I'm your host, Critical Failure. Thanks so much for joining. This week, we're going to do some fun with chiptunes. I'm going to try and see if I can get sort of a live chiptune jam going. We got some good video games that were encountered over the week that I'm going to talk about in a Vancast. And we're going to play the music of Fuji from the Gulf Audio Company. Now, this is one of these vaporwave labels where the albums are free. You can just go get them. And I bought the digital discography, which was 60 albums for 90 cents. One album in particular that I see given away a lot on the vaporwave subreddit, Fuji, has just captured my imagination. So we're going to play some of this, we'll compare notes. This is the lead-off track. This is called Waves. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. I think every reverb dial on planet Earth was cranked up to 11 for that track. It has a bit of a slow build, but my goodness, that is the lead off track. That track starts the evening's entertainment on this album, boys and girls. The album is called Euphoria. The artist is Fuji, F-U-G-I-I, and the album is available free on the Gulf Audio Company. Go get yourself a copy of the MP3 and enjoy it, because all the physical media is long gone, bros. It looks like there was a run of 100 records, and that's long gone. And there was two separate runs of cassette tapes, both also long gone. It's these vaporwave companies, man. They'll make a run of records, or even in some cases tapes, and they'll sell out so fast. So fast. I'll get notifications that a record has been released that I want, and that notification will hit like 30 minutes ago, and I'll go and the record will be sold out. It's really disheartening. So let's join hands and learn to find a way to make the digital copy good enough, because I swear it's all we've got. And with that, boys and girls, it's time to turn the clock back. This is a little segment called the VanCast. I like to do my video game talk while I'm driving to work. So we're going to turn the clock back to Monday morning. And boy, Monday morning is a tough time to be alive, but TCR made it just a little bit more tolerable. So let's go there now. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Morning, everybody. It's the VanCast. It is Monday morning. Oh, yeah. 59 degrees outside, boys. 59 degrees and damp from rain last night. But it is nice out. It's the nicest morning that we've had quite some time. Spring is here. It shows up when it feels like it. And I'm sure it'll be back down to 30 degrees next week. But as for now, it's really nice outside. This is one of those Monday mornings where it's like, thank goodness it's Monday. I'm ready to go back to the office so I can have some peace and quiet. Been too crazy at home. Video games. What got played over the weekend? I spent some time workshopping Famitracker songs this morning and releasing last week's TCR. It's Monday morning, so I just released last week's TCR like, I don't know, probably 45 minutes ago. So at this point, not a ton of games left to be played. I'm getting ready for the next edition of the Tiger Score. And the next Tiger Score edition is going to be the Driving Ace edition. The Driving Ace special. So a lot of driving-themed games with high-score base type gameplay. I'm thinking definitely Enduro for the Atari 2600. That's a classic driving game. I'm thinking either Super Hang-On or Hang-On. Sega-based motorcycle gameplay. Beyond that, I'm not really sure. I have a list of potential driving ace type games back at the house, but those are the ones that stick out to me. I'd also like to do like a smaller print recap of like the best games. The games that got submissions through the course of the Tiger Score. All right, people played Black Box Pinball. People played Ride in 4. People played. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look. But that's the idea. So if you want to dust off Black Box Pinball or something like that, and get take the crown, as it were, on the Tiger Score, this is a good time to do it. There's only going to be 2 issues left, so whoever ends up the king at the end is going to be etched into the stones of history as the crowned king, the crowned Tiger Score king of that said game. So really get your weapons ready, boys. Alright, how are we doing? I'm pulling up to the grocery store now, and as per usual on Monday, I'm gonna jump in and get some things. Alright, we'll be right back. Alright, I'm done in the grocery store. It looks like I need gas, so I guess I'll have to stop a second time. Alright, I don't want to drag this out too much. The main point I wanted to go over this morning was to get your driving gloves ready for the Driving Ace special. What is today? This is being recorded on the 8th, so there's plenty of time. Plenty of time to play Space Invaders and whatnot. I got a few weeks before the next Tiger Score comes out. And that'll be good times. So if I were back home right now, what would I be playing? Wow, I don't really know. It really would be Enduro. Enduro, I think, is my favorite Atari game of all time. I think it's the most intricate
It has the most subtleties to its gameplay. If you're not familiar, it's a driving game that's set up a lot like Outrun, like a chase cam driving game. Which, in and of itself, a functioning game like that on the Atari 2600 is a feat. Because they didn't have much to work with, that's for sure. But it plays very, very well. And the idea is, it's supposed to be like a multiple day, like mega marathon kind of race. So, as you're driving, you can see the time of day change, right? It starts in the daytime, then it starts to get darker, then it starts to get, the sun sets, and now it's nighttime. Then you go through like a really foggy period at night, and then the fog clears up, and then it's sunrise, and then it's daytime. So you have an entire day-night cycle. And through the course of a single day, the idea is you're supposed to pass a certain number of people, and that's the game. Right? And I can't remember how many it is. Like, I don't know, 100 or something. But you've got that day-night cycle in its entirety from the morning when you start the game to the next morning to pass that number of people. And if you don't, then when the next morning comes, the game is over. Meanwhile, the... what is it now? The score is climbing slow or fast, depending on how fast you can go. All right, hang on a second. Let's get some gas. All right, we're done getting gas. So I was talking about Enduro. Yeah, so the brilliant thing is your score is going to climb and climb, and the faster you can go, the more points you'll acquire. But if you smash into somebody, then it doesn't, you know, there's no game over or anything like that, but what happens is it slows you down drastically. So if you keep smashing into people, then you're not going to make your quota by the end of the night, and then the next morning the game will be over. So you got to go as fast as you can, as fast as you can maintain speed without hitting people, and that's how you make time in Enduro. So when I keep my scoreboard, I keep, typically, like when I'm playing an Atari game, I keep the date and then the score, and that's all I need. So for Enduro, I keep the score and I keep the date, and then I keep the number of days I was on when the game ended. So it'll be like, okay, 4 days or something. And it's usually 4 days, I think, is my max. After 4 days, you're passing 200 cars, and then each day the cars get a little faster as well. So if you smash into something and your car goes down to the side of the road, that time where you have to speed up again, you've lost way more people, right? The number of people that you have to pass has gone way up. It damages you more. So, yeah, so I think it's a good game. I think with the limited tools of the Atari, they managed to put together a pretty intricate experience. You know, a game that needs to be played with some delicacy. And I think it's really good. So that's, you better believe that's going to be on the next Tiger Score. So if you have access to a copy of Enduro, dust it off, because that's what I would play this morning. And with that, boys and girls, how far in are we? 8 minutes? Yeah. Play Enduro. Play Enduro and let me know of any other classic... driving games that are worth dusting off, because I can really, off the top of my head, I can only think of a couple. Enduro and maybe Spy Hunter, right? We played Spy Hunter on Tiger Claw TV, you know, a year ago or so, maybe more. Everybody jumped in the Spy Hunter High Score Challenge. I think that would be another choice game for the Tiger Score. I'd love to dig up everybody's score from the Spy Hunter Challenge and then publish that in the Tiger Score and say, all right, this was the score from the great Spy Hunter battle of a couple years back. See how you stack up. Because that was awesome. Everybody was in that. Michael Smith, Dorabka, myself, Saga. Kaiser was in it, I believe. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time indeed. And with that, boys and girls, I'm going to send you guys back to the studio. I'll see you there.
Back in the studio. You know what? Listening to that, I never did drop that album. And I'm actually going to log on to my Bandcamp account. And we're going to do that right now. Because I think I have everything set. I just, I was sitting on it. So here we go. Give me a second here. We're going to go do Green Leo. The album is called Mad Scientist. We've got 6 tracks. That's right. I wanted to type more of a description, but you know what? We don't need that. I can fill that out later. We're going to go to edit. Let's see. Hand me my lab coat. That's track 1. Track 2, When Children Get a Hold of My Equipment. Oh yeah, that's right. That's the track I told you guys about where I wanted to record rain, right? It was pouring rain here. And I got there. We have a little on the deck. There's like a vestibule, right, where the rain can hit the roof, but it's surrounded by screens, and it sounds really good. The rain echoes, but my phone stays dry. So I set my phone there, and I walked away from it. And my kid, my son, got a hold of it while I was away, and sort of messed with the take a little bit. So. I had to find a way to extract my revenge and use it somehow. So that was done on this album. All right. Congrats, Mad Scientist is now published. Give me a second here. So I'm going to hopefully go back and update these credits at a later date. But you can go get the album now. It's free on my Bandcamp. And I did quite a bit of work on my chiptune album that's coming up. Still has no title. Did a lot of work on that one today. It's shaping up quite nicely. Of the 2 tracks we demoed last week, the slower of the 2, I think, took shape a lot more in the last 48 hours. But all right, enough with that. So, we're going to play another track from the Euphoria album from Fuji, and this is called All Calm. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. More Vancast when we come back. What an album. So one of the reasons I wanted to play that one is not just because it's amazing. I've had it in my Bandcamp collection and just neglected it and recently discovered it. But Retro Kaiser, our good friend over on Twitter, mentioned that he was getting into Vaporwave from this show, from the 80s sound. And he got really into Bloodwave, which is amazing. Bloodwave's, it's really good stuff. So maybe we'll do another Bloodwave episode next week. But there you go, Kaiser. Check out the Gulf Audio Company, not just for that album, but they got a ton of really great stuff. So before we move on, I just take a quick minute to remind everybody that this is a Patreon-sponsored podcast and to thank the supporters. These guys are giving of their resources to make sure TCR can come back every single week. This is episode 281. We rebooted TCR around episode 174, and we've been going strong every single week since. So thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. These guys get early access to the show, and I also read their names off in sort of a hall of distinguished gentlemen. And they are Hemrock, James, Sendu, Tecmo Balls, Darabka, and Constantine Kelman. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show. I appreciate it, and I hope you guys feel like you're getting your money's worth. All right, I have a sizable fail bag to go over later on in the episode, so let's do this. How do we want to do this now? I got one more VanCast, I believe, to play, and then after that, we'll see what else we got. All right. When was this recorded? How many did? I'm racking my brain to try and think back like 20 minutes ago. And figure out how many of these VanCasts I've put up there. I think this is the third one, right? So this was recorded this morning, Friday morning, driving to work. Right now I'm recording this at 8:07 p.m. And what you're about to hear was recorded, early this morning. Let's go there now. You're listening to Tiger Claw Radio. Good morning, everybody. It's the VanCast. It's Friday morning. We got 48 degrees outside. It's a little brisk. Still feels good. And I'm off to work. Friday. Love my Fridays. Alright. I had some good game time over the last couple days. I played, I played all the way through a game called Sin Emergence, or Sin Episodes Emergence. Basically, that was Sin was an FPS in the 90s. Very weird game. And they made this game on the Source Engine. Or not the... Was it the Source Engine? Source Engine era sequel. Where they were going to release it in episodic content. And they planned to do 9 episodes. And we only ever got the first one. So, consequently... It's a fun little game. Well done. They did a good job on that first episode. But because it's episode 1 and that's all there is... what you've got is a first-person shooter with a hokey story and absolutely no resolution to anything. There's a whole lot of mustache twirling from the bad guys. but I knew that going in, so that was fine. It took me probably about 4 hours to play through the whole game, and that was with like having to walk away from the computer for long periods of time. So that's one you can beat super quick. The only problem is I think because I was able to beat it so quick, I think the cost to game length ratio doesn't add up. It's like a $10 game. And it never goes on sale, but there's only like 4 hours of content or so in it, you know. Plus, I spent an extra hour or so fooling around with the extra mods, or not mods, but game modes and stuff. It's like a little arena game mode where you can run around and shoot people. Nice little game. Played all the way through it. All done with that. I spent the morning, a good part of the morning, releasing... Oh, look at you. Look at you taking my spot in line. Look at you taking my spot in line. My goodness. What a humanitarian. This kind of thing makes me so mad. It's Friday morning. Can't we just have a little...
Can't we just not cut each other off? 6:27 in the morning. Everybody who's out here on the road is like having a rough time. Nobody's happy to go into work. And yet we still... These little tiny things that you have, I'm going to take them. I can't believe that, man. All right, I got to let it go. It's the only way. What was I talking about now? Played Sin Emergence, and I created a little Steam community guide to display all the cheat codes and whatnot. So that was kind of fun. I moved on to the original Kane and Lynch. Kane and Lynch Dead Men. Which took a while to get started because that's a Games for Windows Live game. So when I would load it, it would lock down. It would immediately try and launch Games for Windows Live, and then that would crash and it would just get stuck. So there were ways around it that were pretty simple, but that took digging through some guides. Hold on. Oh, I wanted to cuss that lady out. I was ready to cuss somebody out. Hang on. Yeah, it's probably better that didn't happen. All right. Where was I? Kane and Lynch. Yeah, so I sat down and played some Kane and Lynch. Got probably maybe, I don't know, half hour into it or so. That was pretty cool. Then Darabka showed up, and we got on Discord and played some Double Dragon 2. We're trying to be Double Dragon 2 in like the Double Dragon trilogy on Steam. So that was pretty fun. We made it to the final boss where you fight the shadow guys and then just got wrecked. I was making a lot of silly mistakes playing through the game, so I had lost a bunch of lives that I needed at the final battle. So when the final battle happened, I ended up tapping out pretty early, running out of continues and stuff. So we'll have to try that one again. That's actually... Double Dragon 2 is a game that we have now tried to play through many times. I think that was like our fourth time trying to play through Double Dragon 2. And not being able to. So, I don't know. I guess it's time to get good. But that was pretty fun. That happened last night. It was cool to be able to play some games, you know? I know I have a million projects that are going on right now. But sometimes it's important to just play some games that I want to play. You know what I mean? I think when I'm not doing that, I think it shows in my work. Right? Suddenly the podcast isn't about video games anymore. You know, it becomes a slog. And I'm like, hey, why? All of a sudden, why isn't anything fun anymore? Yeah, got to play a little games for myself. That's an important part of the formula. Swingle's been MIA a little bit. He has been playing this game Warframe, which I haven't tried yet. I took a look at it. Warframe is a free-to-play shooter, third-person shooter, I believe. Just by cruising the store page, that was the impression I got. And this is a game that, like, I kind of envy him because he's put so many hours into this game in such a short period of time. It's like, I miss being able to get that engrossed in a video game, right? Even, like, my favorite game right now, Dead by Daylight, I can probably only play Dead by Daylight for, like, 3 hours tops before I get really upset and rage quit. You know? I miss being able to play a game and being interested for many, many hours. I'm trying to think of the last game that was like that for me. What comes to mind is Final Fantasy XII. I remember playing Final Fantasy XII on the PS2, like many, many years ago. This was before my kids were born. Back when I was a blue-collar guy, when I was a plumber's helper. I would work all day, and then I would come home. And if I had a couple hours, I'd play Final Fantasy XII. Then I would have, like, a day off. And my wife was working retail at the time. So she would go off to work, and we didn't have any kids. So it was just me in the house. And I remember having days like that where I'd be like, all right, it's time to play Final Fantasy XII all day. I remember those days playing Final Fantasy XII quite fondly, actually. I know there have been games I've played that much since, but that's what sticks out in my mind the most as like a positive gaming binge-out experience. That was before I got into Trouble in Terrorist Town as well. In college, I went through a big Trouble in Terrorist Town phase where I was just playing Garry's Mod any possible chance I had. Those were good times too. Trouble in Terrorist Town and Garry's Mod, and another one that I played that much was Killing Floor. Back when I was part of a 5 or 6 man squad in Killing Floor, where we just had it down and we could take on maps on like the suicide skill level and come out on top. We would play that for 8 hours at a time, easy. Oh man, that was a magical time. Alright, let's see where we're at now. All this time I spent playing these games over the past couple days, I probably should have been finishing my album. I got my album is all uploaded to Bandcamp and ready to go. It just needs I need to make sure the tracks are in the order that I want, and you know, do my write-up, like type up a description and stuff. And that should be ready to go. By the time you're listening to this, that'll probably be out. Same thing with my review for Emerald Rangers. I was working on a review for Emerald Rangers for a game called Kashyyyk Force. And that's almost done. I just need like a few extra sentences about like the mechanics. And hang on a second. And maybe like a quick punch up. And then that should be ready to submit. So I'm in a good spot. I feel like most of my projects, like, I'm on top of. But if I were back home right now, and let's exclude, producing work. If I was home right now and I had time to play games, what would I be playing? Well, I'm conflicted for a couple things. I kind of want to play Double Dragon 2 through on my own, just to get practiced with it, so that when Sean and I play it again, I'll be ready to beat the game and do well. So Double Dragon 2 is one game. Problem with that is it is I would probably only play that for about 20 minutes, and then I'd be done. 20 minutes is enough time to do a complete run through, I think, of Double Dragon 2. After that, probably Kane and Lynch. I've been enjoying that. I want to play that more. I took time configuring it to get it to run. So, you know. Kane and Lynch is also one of these games where, like, I bought it during a Steam sale. So, I want to play some of these games that I bought. I can't remember which sale it was. I have it marked. So, I think it was the last one. So, probably this past Christmas sale. Or winter sale or whatever. And with that, how are we doing now? Wow, we're 11 minutes and 43 seconds in. I guess I'll go ahead and shoot you guys back to the studio. I've got to go. It's Friday. I got to go do my Friday at work. And then hopefully tonight I'll hang out with the kids. And then once the kids go to bed, I can finish my album and finish my article. And Friday night, record some TCR. I'll see you guys there.
All right, boys and girls, we're back in the studio, and there's no time to waste. We're going to do the fail bag. All right, so here's how it works. It's a small show. It's just me. It's just a handful of you guys out there. If you want to interact, leave me a comment on YouTube, or if you know me personally, by all means, send me an email. Just be clear about what is okay to read on the air. If you're sending me an email, last thing I want to do is put your personal information on blast. And these tend to be, you know, I like these. I the people who have been writing in tend to feed me a lot of good content to riff on. So we get something out of this segment. All right, here we go. This is from Hemrock, old friend of the show. He writes, hey, CF, I'm McLovin, the new Green Leo album. My favorite tune is the album name, Laguna Seca. Yeah, mine too. Another one of my favorites is Red and Blue Flashing Lights. It's a shame that Chiptunes Equals Win has an exclusivity policy. I think Laguna Seca would have been a great, would have had a great chance of making it. Yeah, thanks, man. Concerning the demo tracks that you played on the last episode, I think they both have potential. The song Trying to Make Something New is my favorite of the two. Yeah, mine too. However, it seems to go in too many directions, and it may need more of a consistent bass line. I feel that the next tune, Let's Slow Jam, has the opposite problem, and it needs some sort of a solo riff. Yeah, I would completely agree. I think the idea of adding guitar over it may work well. Who knows? Maybe you'll be the next Anna Managuchi. Yeah, I don't think so. but thanks. And by the way, I like the off-the-wall corny track names. Why are you moving away from them? These silly song labels have take me back to the days of Starship Amazing. Quick break to answer that question. I'm not going away from them. It's just like this part of the creative process I hadn't usually revealed. I usually give the tracks a working title, and then they get renamed towards the end. Most of the time they get renamed. Sometimes they keep their working title. The idea is, look, if I'm going to open up Famitracker and I start working on something, I want to save a lot. So I got to have something to name the file, right? So that usually ends up being the working title. So by the time it comes out, then I'll go back and listen to it. All right, let's listen to what this crazy monstrosity has become. What picture do I get in my head based off of that? And how does that fit in with the album and the rest of it? Let's go ahead and rename it based on that. That's where the kind of weird track names came from. They also came from back in the 8-Bit Collective days. One of the things I would do to try and make my tracks stand out was the name. It was pretty much all people had to go on. I would give them a corny name. And then for the description, rather than writing a description, oh, I made this in Famitracker, I would write some sort of narrative based on the title. Like, Only Heroes Win at Ski Ball is the name of one of the tracks on one of my first two albums. Only Heroes Win at Ski Ball. And then when you clicked in on 8-Bit Collective, there was like four sentences. It was like a four-sentence micro short story about like going on a date on the beach boardwalk. And that was enough to kind of drag people in, right? It was something I had seen done elsewhere. There was a chiptune artist named Dandruff who was writing songs about a mouse, which I've talked about here on the air before, but henceforth, silly song titles. All right, let's get back to the email. He writes, speaking of music, I really dug the Motion Epic tune you played on the last episode. Very 80s. Oh, yeah, man. That's awesome that you're playing Duel Masters. What's your deck like? What colors do you play with? You mentioned that the beginner decks suck, and you are correct. But a quick hint maybe to help you get over the initial learning curve is get the red deck, which I did. I think this is the one of the easier decks to deal with in the beginning. Then start adding low-cost red creatures through booster packs and winning matches. Okay. Basically, play it as a rush deck and throw out as many low-level creatures as quickly as possible. In any case, I'll be heading through your part of the woods in the near future, and maybe we can meet up and get in some Duel Masters since we missed out during Magfest. Yeah, man. He goes on, I've been playing a little Final Fantasy II from the Final Fantasy Origins compilation on the PS1. Have you played this one? It's certainly not the best of the series. Essentially, it's a well-made RPG Maker game. Ooh, scandalous. However, I feel compelled to complete it before I start another Final Fantasy game. I'm really interested in picking up either Final Fantasy VII or XII for the Switch. But I want to defy my gamer ADD and finish FF2 first. Let's see. I have not played that one. This is me responding. I did at one point own the Tokyo Pop produced soundtrack for FF4. I lost track of the numbers there. I guess the one I had was FF4, which that was FF2 in the United States. No, I've never played that one. Amrock. Sorry, man. Before I get confused, I'm just going to pull that train over to the side of the turnpike. All right, let's get back to the email. You briefly discussed the platformer Pandemonium. Just FYI, that game did come out for Sega Saturn and now runs about $65. I don't think it's worth shelling out the cash for since you can buy it on Steam for $7.
Whoo!
Whoo! 65 bones. That's a charming game. It is. But $65. That's a price that's like... It's because it's a Sega Saturn game. It's because it's a Sega Saturn game that's not a sports game or a driving game or a football game or Myst. That's got to be the reason. Charming game, for sure. But that's a lot of money. Let's get back to the email. You also mentioned extreme sports games being one of your favorite genres back in the day. What are your top three extreme sports games? A couple of my favorites are the original Tony Hawk and Too Extreme. Although Too Extreme is loved largely for nostalgia purposes, it was one of the first PS1 games I got into. All right, quick break. Let's answer that one. You nailed it, man. The three best extreme sports games, in my opinion, were as follows. Cool Borders 3, right? Which was it's a great game. There was, I remember, how do I describe it? I remember the downhill events. I remember collecting all the snowboards. I remember doing the tricks. I remember all the weird snowboarders you could pick from and getting no clear indication as to what the difference was between them. I remember the half pipe event. I remember focusing really hard on getting better and then my friend coming over and mashing buttons and kicking our butts. That was a game I enjoyed very much. Too Extreme was another one. It's a bit of an early PS2 title, but I remember creating characters in Too Extreme. Too Extreme also had a standout soundtrack. This is like they were just hiring bands to play original rock and roll for some of these games. Yeah, and they didn't have there was no name for the artist. There was no name for the tracks. It was just, okay, you've got snowboarding levels 1, 2, 3. Snowboarding 3 was what had a good song. that's pretty much how that soundtrack went. But Too Extreme was a great game. And then, of course, the number one of that batch was Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. Tony Hawk's Pro Skater dominated my gameplay when that game came out. Everybody had Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. It was one of a couple of games where it's like we had the demo. And the demo played the level that, you know, the level that played the Primus song, Jerry Was a Race Car Driver, that level was in the demo that we had. So we ended up getting the game, and it was awesome. Couple of games that weren't on your list that are really good is Street Skater and Street Skater 2. Street Skater was another one of these games that stuck out to me. Like, I liked the 3D skating. Street Skater came after Too Extreme, but before Tony Hawk's Pro Skater. So the idea of having a half pipe that was, you know, rendered in 3D was really cool to me. But it also, that was one of those CDs where you could pull it out of the PlayStation, you could put it directly in a boombox, and it would read the CD and play the soundtrack that way. Now, the soundtrack had... the Pie Tasters, it had H2O playing tracks off their second album. Who else did it have? It had All. It had just to name a few. There was a group called Eye Against Eye that I liked quite a lot. It had a lot of really good, like, early 2000s punk tracks. Very, very good soundtrack. Pretty good game. And I remember the sequel, Street Skater 2, was like rushing to market. Street Skater 2 was in a hurry to beat Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2 to the market because Street Skater 2 had a level maker and they wanted to be the first 3D skating game that had a level maker. And you know what? It was really good. The level maker for that game was tile-based, so there was much less that you could do in it than you could in Tony Hawk's Pro Skater 2, but the levels were also super easy to make, which I appreciated when I was younger and dumber. All right, let's get back to the email. Where was I? There was some discussion about boredom with Mecha Menace chiming in. He mentioned improvising in games to squeeze in hours of gameplay. One of my most memorable personal challenges was trying to beat the train level in 007 GoldenEye for the N64 with the following cheats. Number 1, all enemies equipped with rocket launchers. Number 2, player receives all guns. Number 3, player receives infinite ammo. I don't know if I ever beat the challenge, but boy was it fun to try. Enemies with rocket launchers in a confined space equals chaotic hilarity. Sounds like a good time. He goes on. I know you got a lot on your plate, so no hurries, no worries. Just a couple of questions. Number 1, it looks like you've got bitten by the chiptune bug. After your submission to Chiptunes Equals Win, do you plan on making another Green Leo release in the near future? Number two, any immediate plans on reviewing the Ouya since you found the controller? Did I find that controller? I did, didn't I? I think I might have lost it again, dude. No, I can see it. I can see it right from where I'm sitting. I want to do it. I have to clean my plate first. I got too many projects open, so it's not going to be for a couple of months. I got to finish the Tiger score out. I got only a couple issues left of that to do. I got a review to do for Emerald Rangers, and I've got one to do for Out of the Park Baseball. I got a review copy of Out of the Park Baseball 20, so we got that. But I do want to do one. Any plans? And number three, any plans for video game reviews on for TCTV? Again, when I clear my plate a little bit, YouTube was really what started this whole mess, was my little YouTube channel. So I never want to let that die. Even if, like, I go a long time without making videos and whatnot, that's one thing you probably won't see from me is, oh, hey, I'm not doing this YouTube thing anymore. If you see that video come out of me, I'm probably terminally ill. All right. Additionally, off-topic question. Have you sent the retro junk box to Saga Saga? No, I have not. I have emailed Saga Saga three different times. I haven't heard back from him. I'm getting a little worried, to be perfectly honest. But we'll see how he's doing. Let's do this. He might end up being too busy to do the retro box. It might... I want to give him the option to pass if he needs to. Because... He might be going through some stuff which is preventing him from being available. That if that's the case, let's make arrangements to send it to the next person, which I can do. Just bear that in mind. I'll give him a call this next week. We'll see if I can get in touch with him and get this whole box thing underway. But yeah, I agree. The box has been stuck at my house for longer than it should be. We'll see what we can do about that. He writes, I think the Open Command and Conquer game you're referring to is OpenRA. Check out the website here. Yes, it is. It looks like they added a lot of bug fixes to the original game, and it also appears to work with Dune 2000. However, you do need the original games to get this to work. Okay, good. In true SourcePort fashion. Here's some retro news. Warcraft 1 and 2 have been released on GOG. All right, record screech. Hang on a second. We're going to go find this right now. We will return to this regularly scheduled email in just a second. I'm running over to GOG.com. I was looking at GOG today, but I was looking at through. My goodness, you're right. Look at that. Warcraft Orcs and Humans, Warcraft 2 Battle.net Edition. There it is. It's on freaking GOG. $15. Man. They got Warcraft 2. You guys know I had Warcraft 2 on the PlayStation, right? Many years ago. How much does that cost? I bet that's expensive now. Let's take a look. I loved that game. Warcraft 2 was so good. It was so good, man. And when I lived 10 years ago, when I lived off towards the mountains and I had a used bookstore across the street, they had a big box copy of Warcraft 2. They had one. It was Warcraft 2 Battle.net Edition with a CD and everything. But I didn't take it because I didn't have the room. I've since managed to get a hold of the CD, but I regret not getting the big box. All right, let's try this. Warcraft 2 PS1. Oh my gosh. Okay, it's a lot, but it's not. I'm not dying. Warcraft 2, The Dark Saga, PlayStation 1, complete, tested, black label, complete in box, $55. Buy it now. $63, buy it now. Yeah, $55. Take it home right now. Here's another one for $53. That's a lot. It's not as much as I thought it was going to be, though. My goodness. And look at this OpenRA. Looks awesome, too. I'm going to have some stuff to check out when this is over. All right, let's get back to the email. He had some retro news for us. The Sega Genesis Mini now has a release date for September 19th for $80. It will include 40 games. Sega has revealed 10 of them. Echo the Dolphin, Castlevania Bloodlines, Space Harrier 2, Shining Force, Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, Toe Jam and Earl, Comic Zone, Sonic the Hedgehog, Altered Beast, Gunstar Heroes. Whew. I have to look this up, man, because I got to be honest. I thought we already had a Sega Genesis Mini. Didn't we already have one like a couple times over? Oh, or I guess this is the first one since they fired at games. So this one could be like really good. So I'll have to check it out. Let's get back to the email. He writes, Final Fantasy XII HD Remaster is coming out for the Nintendo Switch at the end of April. The Duck game is also coming to Nintendo Switch May 2nd. That's an awesome, awesome game. If you guys have never played Duck game, that is the definitive four-player brawler, in my opinion. Duck game is the best. Imagine Super Smash Brothers, but it's consistently one-hit kills. One-hit kills Super Smash Brothers, elimination-based with guns. That's Duck game, and it's freaking awesome. It's really good. Amazon Prime members get a free year of Nintendo Switch Online for free. And then there's the article. Take care. Keep rolling retro. Hemrock. Hemrock. King of the emails, my man. And you have clearly have your ear to the ground, because I didn't know about any of this. Specifically Warcraft being on GOG. That's a killer. I just reopened like my GOG Galaxy client in the last week, and I started reinstalling my GOG games, because I've got a lot of really awesome GOG games. But if I have it on GOG and I also have it on Steam, I tend to only play the Steam one. So whenever I go into GOG, I'm looking for the games. All right, what are the games I have in here that I can only play on GOG? And those usually tend to be like the Pinball Gold Pack, or Tyrion is another one, those types of things. But my goodness. So we all buying Warcraft 2? We're going to have Warcraft 2 night? We're going to make this happen? Come on, guys. I know we can do it. All right, so Hemrock wrote a second email, but we're going to go back to the YouTube channel and check out the comments, the much shorter comments, before we read it. So bear with me while we load this up here. All right. I know. What can I do? I can hear the silence in my soul as this loads, and I'm like, you know what? You should probably stop recording while you do this. But, I have to do what I can do to make this move along. All right, here we go. Excuse me. Desm101. Ooh, we got some replies here I haven't read. Look at this. Desm101 kicks us off. He writes, at 49 minutes, I remember another popular sit-down deluxe game. At the time was the one where the pilot bike plane called... Oh, man, I read that so wrong. My goodness. I completely failed that one. Here's what I'm going to do to make Desm. I'm going to press Control on the keyboard. I'm going to scroll that mouse wheel way up so I can make the print a lot bigger. And we're going to try this again. All right. Everybody ready? Let's go. At 49 minutes in, I remember another popular sit-down deluxe game at the time was one where you pilot a bike plane called Prop Cycle. On the topic of the Sekiro debate, first off, I haven't played it, so I don't take any stake in the debate. While I love games that are hard as nails, Ninja Gaiden, Gradius, Contra, it's certainly sort of a nice option to have an easy mode. I kind of like the bad ending style, where you would get when you try to beat a game on an easier difficulty, like Double Dragon 2, etc. It makes the payoff more worth it, and it's still accessible with less time/skill. Even games like Gradius 2 on Saturn. I still get my butt handed to me on the very easy mode. I don't think we need to demand these options. It's what the developer envisions in the long run. But also, as an adult with minimal free time, it can be a nice option to play on a simpler difficulty. Yeah, okay. I'm on board with that, man. There are certainly games that I wish were a little easier because it makes it harder to enjoy. But I just think... I think the idea of you have to include a difficulty that accommodates me. You have to. I think that's just absurd. I think somebody saying that should be laughed out of journalism, in my opinion. Because, you know what? There are games that are just too difficult to enjoy, right? And other people who are better at games will enjoy them. And you know what? That's on you for not doing your research before you made the purchase. It really is. Des, I'm always good to hear from you, brother. There were some replies to that. Let's see what we got. Mecha Menace writes, some games bad hit detection and poor physics in general make a game difficult. It's a good point. Turning down the difficulty in Sega Genesis frustratingly difficult X-Men 1, and it won't allow you to pass a certain level unless you play on a higher difficulty. Yeah, that sucks. And you know what other game does that? Twisted Metal 2. If you played Twisted Metal 2 on easy, after you beat that like tank in the lava stage, it would throw up a stop sign and be like, "No losers pass this point, bro. Play on a man's difficulty to see the ending. You want to see the true ending, brah? You gotta turn up the difficulty. No losers pass this point." Does that sound annoying to you? Only half as annoying as actually getting that message on a game you paid for. Man, oh man. I went back and played some Twisted Metal 2 like in the last year, because I found a copy of it for cheap out in the wild. There's a lot of input lag in that game. Holy Moses, I was shocked. I really had a hard time playing it because of all the input lag. It's just early 3D, and it was the most the hardware could handle. You know, is what it is. We need an HD version of Twisted Metal 2, that's for sure. But I'm getting off track. Let's get back. All right. Desmond101 replies, Alpine Racer was great, and difficulty had a big draw at arcades then. Those Super Deluxe Sega cabinets with full rotation are still some of the more impressive cabinets ever made. I would kill to have one of those and a Galaxian 3 walk-in unit somewhere near me where I could play. Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know what, Desmond? I'll do you one better. I would kill to have any game near me I could play. There was another story I know I tell more than once on the air. There used to be a movie theater near me that had it had a Neo Geo MVS. And I remember at one point going there with Saga Saga just to play the Neo Geo. And we played like Puzzle de Pon and I think Strikers 1947 or whatever it is. A couple of really good games. And that cabinet disappeared a long time ago. And then that whole movie theater ended up shutting down right after the last Star Wars movie. We saw Star Wars Episode 8, Return, Revenge, I don't know, Return of the Jedi, Holy Moses. The Last Jedi, whatever that one was, we saw that there, and like the next day it was closed forever. So I mourn the loss of local arcade games. Mecha Menace writes, at Desmond101, keep forgetting about Galaxian 3 arcade game. Thank you for reminding me. Desmond, at this point, the reason for visiting Japan is the sweet arcade setups. I bet you could find them all in Tokyo Town. There are fewer arcades than there once was. Those big ones probably have plenty of large machines. I'd love to sit down at the Namco Sega 360 Pod Star Wars and Gundam games. I wonder how much those big machines cost. Paging Balzac. He went on a trip to Japan recently. Maybe he's got some insight on the ease of finding these machines and at cost. That and the toys / merch gets me excited. They've got mountains of trash that never left the stores of Japan, still sitting in dusty hobby / toy stores. They probably never changed in price and still have the little paper stickers of 100 yen. I'm over visiting Japan for the exclusive video game releases. Those are all discovered and crazy in price. $500-$600 for Harmful Park. $100 for Zanuck X Zanuck. Japan is the land of plenty for video games. I know these prices are driven by a global market. We're just going to give that one a thumbs up. You know what? I don't know about Japan. I don't have a trip to Japan in the near future. But I do know in Georgetown, there's a barcade. I got to get down to Georgetown. That's not too far from where I live. I live in southern Maryland. So I'm pretty close to Washington, D.C. And in Georgetown, I've heard through the grapevine that there is a place there where I could play some arcade games. I'll have to check that out and report back to you. We've got an arcade in Georgetown, and then in Bethesda, Maryland, I've got a pizza pinball place that I went to a couple of times, which is really good. There we go. All right. Gentlemen, thanks for writing in. We got one from the Gaming Beast who writes, I used to play Doom 2 and Quake while listening to AC/DC and Queen back in the day. Good times. Question of the Beast. How would you design a 4-versus-1 style horror multiplayer game now that you've become so experienced in playing these games. Personally, I'd like to see an engine that would allow for more features for the killers, like setting up. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, like swapping options around. Almost like building a ship in some of those Japanese games, like the Japanese mech games, where you can have, all right, I want my killer to have a mutated arm, and that's going to give me X, Y, and Z bonuses at the cost of X, Y, and Z penalties. For those of you who don't know what he's talking about, he's talking about Dead by Daylight. He's talking about Friday the 13th. Those are kind of games that I dig quite a bit. Okay, first of all, we need proximity chat in those types of games. It's hide and seek. They should really understand. Look, when I say these are hide and seek games, they should understand that it's built on this sort of hide and seek mechanical core, and then they dress it up to look like a scary game. But you still have hide and seek at the center of it. So think back to when you were a kid and you were actually playing hide and seek with all your friends. Some of the fun is like when you jump out from your hiding spot, yell at your friend, and then you take off running for base or whatever it is, however you would do it. You need to be able to talk trash. And I really feel like a good solid hide and seek horror game that has that could take the crown. We need that, and we need better models, because my goodness, the models are terrible in Dead by Daylight. They really are. It's a good game, but the models are they're not good. You got a game that where they charge money for cosmetic items, you know, but everything looks ugly. It's just like you put a fresh coat of paint on it, it's still a piece of junk. Hey, I just want to have Friday the 13th being updated and thriving again. That's what I want to have. Don't take Jason out of it. Replace Jason with somebody else. All right? If you take that game and you make a second version of it that's the same game, but instead of Jason, you've got, say, the Trapper from Dead by Daylight, but it's Friday the 13th. I'd buy that game. That's what I'd buy. Yeah. Yeah, it's good to hear from you. The Gaming Beast, 82. Good old Darabka, good friend. He has been catching up on old episodes. First time in quite a while. I've got a comment from him, like, on the latest one, so thanks for that. Mechamenas writes, I don't drive, but the situation with the school bus / cement barrier / divider and four lanes seems like it would be in your favor. I mean, do they expect kids to hop a 3-foot cement divider? Was there a crosswalk with a highway cement divider like that, which obviously can't be driven over except if you're Bigfoot? Do you have to pull over when the emergency vehicles are driving the opposite way? I mean, would they destroy themselves by smashing into the cement barrier if they wanted to switch directions? Anyways, it sounds like something you could dispute. By the way, I think the issue with the comments not loading has to do with how YouTube dynamically creates the layouts for pages. Before posting this message, I had to resize the windows so the recommend videos would pop up to the right, and the comments would sidle up under the video, except those last comments never loaded. It had to keep the window size at its new size and hit refresh. Then the comment loaded after, of course, hitting sort by newest first. Okay, good to know. Good to know. The way YouTube sets up these pages seems very anti-community. I wonder if YouTube higher-ups wish they could remove comments from the entire site. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad. I there's no solution either. Didn't they try and remove comments at some point? Not entirely, but like you had to be signed up for Google Plus, and it was a disaster. So much of a disaster that it was reversed at some point. Yeah. But you know what? They could do it. They took away video responses. They took away video responses, and they tried to tell us that it's because people weren't clicking in to watch them. What a load of crap. All right, boys and girls, you know what time it is. Whatever has brought you here 1 hour and 5 minutes and 40 seconds into the podcast, I want to thank you for spending time here. Because time, ladies and gentlemen, is the world's most valuable currency. It really is, and I value the time you spent with me. So as you guys head off into your week, and you go deal with your challenges that no doubt we all have, I want you to know that I'm rooting for you. And while things might not always turn out the way you hoped, or the way you wished they would, or even the way they needed to, there's always tomorrow. Unless you're dead. Then there isn't tomorrow, because you'll be dead. I'm so sorry. I'll see you guys next Monday.